Sam, welcome to Jason Waller Unleashed. Real talk, real success. I'm host Jason Waller, former billion-dollar business entrepreneur, elite business coach, two-time top five podcast host with the BAM Podcast and the True Underdog. You might know me from my TED Talks, best-selling books, or even my brand new reality TV show on Amazon, BAM Fam. Are you hungry for inspiration, wisdom, perhaps a hearty laugh? Get ready for a dynamic, electrifying journey filled with towering business triumphs, intimate family moments, and raw honesty that you won't find anywhere else. Buckle up. This is about to get dope as hell. I'm telling you, I have had all kinds of guests on my previous shows, and we're going to have some bomb guests on this. We're going to be talking about everything from politics to money to business to family to drama to kids to you name it. We're going to talk about it. It's going to be real. It's going to be raw. It's going to be in your face. It is Jason Waller Unleashed. Real talk, real success coming now. Bam! Bam! Jason Waller here with Jason Waller Unleashed. That's right. The biggest, the baddest, the fastest growing social and culture and fucking whatever you want it to be, podcast growing right now in the U.S. We are climbing the charts, so thank you for subscribing on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You check it out on YouTube, Instagram, your mama's gram, your cousin's gram, Facebook. We don't care. We are all over the spot. We are going to kick off a show today. We just dropped a show recently with Aaron Singerman. That show was fire. He is the Redcon One CEO. He talks about how he made millions. He lost it. He went to prison, came back out, started making hundreds of millions of dollars again. Great story. I always love the comeback is better than the setback. So I want to set some records straight today. Now, today's episode is going to be a little bit different. Just like two episodes ago was different. We did a sports one. We keep messing around. That's what's great about Unleashed. We are not scripted or structured. We do whatever the fuck we want. Okay. So I have got my McAllister's here. Okay. So today's show is sponsored by McAllister's Deli. All right. I'm actually going to eat my food while we do the show. So if I'm, it's kind of fucking you up and you got Asperger's and you get a little bothered about my chewing, I apologize. There's nothing I can do about that. Okay. I'm just telling you ahead of time. Now, here's what I got here. I've got a pecan chicken salad with this raspberry vinaigrette dressing, which is the shit. So I'm going to put the dressing on the salad while we're talking. I've got a lot to cover today, so I'm super excited. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. I wish there was a way. There might be a way for TikTok to see more of the food. There we go. Oh, there. TikTok can see more of the food. And then live cannot. So we'll go that way. The podcast cannot. All right. So we're going to put some shit here on the food. This is really bomb-ass food, dude, just to keep it real. Okay. I mean, this is kind of healthy. I'm on my healthy kick right here, getting ready to crush this. While we do a podcast, not many people can eat their lunch while they do a podcast. I think I can. I'm praying I have napkins, and guess what? I don't have napkins. This is going to be a shit show. We should probably get napkins. I think we should get napkins. Do I need napkins? I probably need napkins. Tony! I wonder if I can get some napkins while we're in here doing the show. They're yelling for Tony in the office. That's fucking hilarious. It's like, Sharon, we're yelling. See if Tony can help us out. Be like, look, dude, hate to be a dick. Can I get some napkins, bro? All right, so here's what I've got. I've got this bomb-ass chicken salad from McAllister's. I have got some bomb-ass potato soup, not tomato soup, potato soup, okay? So if you've got a dairy allergy like me, probably not the best thing to have. And then I got potato salad because why? Because I fucking love potato salad and it's fantastic. I've got this unsweetened iced tea with a little blueberry rush in it. So it's got no flavor. Tony, I fucked up. Can I get a napkin? If I'm going to be talking, I don't want to have the red dressing all over me while I'm doing the show. Now, today's show is going to be a little different. I'm going to call today's show, I don't know, public service announcement, PSA. That's what we're going to call the show, Tony. Okay. I'm going to talk about some things going on in life. I'm going to talk about business. I'm going to talk about the customers out there, the perception out there, all those things. This was great. Thank you, Tony. I think I've got that on or off. Do you think that's fucking up the sound?
I think it's acceptable level. So if you need
it, you don't think it fucks up the sound. You think I still sound sexy on the microphone? Yeah, hello.
Sound like the penny dropping.
Is it me you're looking for?
But you hear a little bit.
Just hello. Okay. Chicka 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 chicka. Bow bow. Chicka chicka. Well, the problem is then I got to stand up.
Yeah. But you
I think I'll be all right. Keeps me cool. And look, look how I got on this. I got the food here. Do you don't want to get any of the food here?
Do I want to get the food in there?
Oh. Should we not?
Yeah, we should definitely get
it. Or no?
Look at that beautiful food.
There you go. Beautiful food. There you go.
3 gallons of caffeine.
3 gallons of caffeine. That's right. 3 gallons of caffeine. I got 5 shots of espresso right here. 5 shots of espresso. And then I've got a tea here. And then we've got potato salad, potato soup, and this, did they give me, they didn't even give me a fork, bro. Gosh, what, like what kind of fucking Mickey Mouse place? We're sponsoring the show, right? We're saying the show's sponsored by McAllister's today, and they give me the food and they don't give me the shit. They give me a spoon for the soup, but they don't give me a fork for the salad. You know what I'm saying? All right.
It's a tough, tough life.
I will wait for the fork. I'm sorry. I can't eat till I get the fork. So I'm going to starve to death until then. Should I wonder, is question is, do you eat the soup first or the salad first?
Ooh, I kind of like to go a little bit back and forth. So it's like you're getting
I think that's a great idea. We're going to go back and forth between soup and salad while we're talking. Now, I know we started the podcast and we haven't talked about anything but food. That's what's great about Unleashed. Holy shit. It's very cheesy. And now I got shit all over my face already. This is bad. And top it off, it's white stuff. Doesn't look great. No pun intended. All right. That's not a pun? Did I use that in the wrong context? Doesn't really matter. All right, I'm going to eat this again, though. This is actually delicious. Thank you, Tony. Okay, so we're going to have a public service announcement. I got some things to say. Get off my chest. First thing, I had a conversation with my wife yesterday. And I had a conversation with the attorney yesterday. And I want to clear the air. So all the AGs out there, you're listening, I want to clear the air. All the lawyers out there, you listening, I want to clear the air. All the customers out there of Pink Energy and Power Home Solar, I want to clear the air. All the employees, the ex-employees of Power Home Solar and Pink Energy, I want to clear the air. Let me explain something to you. I apologize that if you think that I'm taunting you or if you think that I'm out here flaunting after people have paid hard money for their solar system, after people worked their ass off and lost their job, after all of that, I am not, and I am sorry that if that's how you feel. That is not my intent. Here's my intent. We had a company that was the best solar company in the planet for 8 straight years. We had an A+ with the BBB. We did all the things you're supposed to do. We did solar in 5 NFL stadiums. We sold a great product, we thought. We were doing all these things. We had a product liability issue with a company called Generac. We ended up having almost 20,000 customer systems not working with firmware updates that prevented them from working at all, with fire liabilities, systems people were paying for that weren't producing any energy, which left other customers in disarray of different levels of where they were. Maybe we started an install and we didn't finish. Maybe we were scheduled an install, we didn't get to it. Maybe we finished an install, we didn't do all these other things. Wherever those customers were, I've done this before and I'm doing it again. I apologize. We fought the biggest fight we could. It cost me personally over $400 million in equity. It cost me several million dollars of personal worth to put back into the company to cover the final payroll, to be able to pay our employees as we closed. I urged every consumer when this happened to file a claim with the bankruptcy. If you think I wanted the company to close, you're out of your mind. I urged them to, and they and most of them did, and I'm glad they did, because there's a claim with the bankruptcy. When the bankruptcy and the trustee hopefully win the lawsuit against Generac, there's something there. I also urged consumers to file a lawsuit against Generac, to join their class action lawsuit. There's 8 lawsuits against them right now. 7 class action lawsuits in several states, including 3 states we're not even in or were in, and 1 securities fraud lawsuit. I say this because the first 90 days I was bitter. We closed and I didn't know what to do. I had an identity issue. I struggled with everything going on and I was out there and I didn't know how to act. And people are upset because, oh, you still have a nice car and you have a nice watch and you still have a business. Guys, I ran that company for 8 years. I ran a company before then for 4 years and a company before then for 12 years. I've sold properties. I have made money along the way. Not a shit ton of money. I lost hundreds of millions of dollars on this deal with Generac. I personally want to sue Generac for $400 million in what I lost, and I don't know if I can. I would give everything I could to pay every customer if I won that lawsuit against Generac back. Yes, I say that on record. Anything that I won from Generac, I would make sure every customer was made whole before I collected anything, because that's the right thing to do. But I don't know how realistic that's going to be with the lawsuits going on. Here's what I know. Yes, I have a nice car. Yes, I have a home. I've done all this over the years. I was not going to allow Generac to not only close my company because of their, they didn't do a national recall, because they didn't come forthcoming with everything that happened. They basically did corporate fraud and lied to us, lied to the consumers, and it was, they let us be the scapegoat for them, and now other companies have closed because of that. And I can't wait for the truth to continue to come out. You're starting to see more of it out there. But I hate this because consumers, and I get it, that are out there and they're like, look at this guy, he's doing this and he's doing that, and I paid money for this system. I apologize, but I want to make it crystal clear. I didn't make extra money. I made the same salary we were doing that. We weren't giving distributions or dividends back. We kept it into the business. I cannot provide for my family if I'm not out there in social media. That's part of how I provide for my family. So I have to be out there and show that, yes, Generac closed my company. And yes, Generac made me lay off 2,400 employees. And yes, Generac fucked over 40,000 of our customers, 20,000 specifically with Generac. And yes, Generac cost us over $1 billion worth of value in our business, $400 million to me, and several million cash put in at the end for me and my partners to cover the final payroll, and left these customers hanging. This isn't Jason Waller. This isn't Pink Energy. This is Generac. Regardless of where your system is in the thing, because of Generac's fraudulent ways, their sneakiness, them not being forthcoming and truthful about their product liability issues, not doing a national recall, it created all these other customers to be left in disarray. So again, I apologize. But I'm not going to apologize for being successful in my whole life and to go out there and provide for my family and post things and have a new reality show and try to build new companies and do this podcast. I can't do that. It's not right, because then if I would have went away and hidden a hole, then not only did Generac take my company, and not only did they take my sanity, and not only did they take my employees and my customers and all everything that I've ever worked my ass off in my whole life and busted my ass doing the right thing, but then they would have taken my dignity and my pride and everything else in my dreams, and I couldn't allow that. So this, for me to post things showing what I've got, what I'm doing, are things that I'm doing now, starting over, working my ass off, out there showing, you know what? You can be broken but not defeated. You can come out of the ashes. Things can explode and you can come through those things and do the right thing and come out of the ashes and build a new life, and it's not over. You may hit the wall, but you can come through it. And that's what I'm showing. So for me to go out there and show that, hey, I'm not going to hide in a hole and sit here and let Generac completely destroy me and kill me. This is me fighting back. All the vocal, if you go through all my social media, all the times I was vocal asking Generac to do a national recall before we closed. So consumers out there, AGs out there, lawyers out there, go back and look at my social media and all my posts. I'm asking for Generac to do a national recall fucking for 6 months. 7 months before we closed. I'm asking them to step up and do the right thing all the time. And they didn't. So I can't sit here and hide in a hole. Part of the way I provide for my family is I'm out there on social media doing things. I'm out there, you know, talking about things, influence things, doing a podcast, interviewing people, building a business. So I apologize to every consumer out there that feels that way, and I hate that you feel that way. I apologize to every employee that feels that way, every vendor that feels that way. I am sorry that you feel that way. But the facts are, is we never intended the company to close. We never ripped anybody off. In good faith, we're installing a great product that ended up having issues, and it's a manufacturer's issue that destroyed our entire company. And had they done a national recall, or had they been forthcoming and not lying about things and shady, things would have been different. Had they paid their service bill of $51 million to Pink Energy Power Home Solar, we could have stayed open servicing these customers and not leaving all of you hanging. So I am sorry that you feel the way you feel. I am sorry that you're upset that I'm out here, you think, living my best life. I'm doing everything I can to provide for my family. I'm doing everything I can to take it to the next level and not hide in a hole and allow people to dictate my future on something that was uncontrollable that closed our company. I'm not going to allow to sit here and be blamed for everything on that company closing, because that's not what happened. That's not what happened. Common sense says, let me ask everybody this. If there were shady things going on, do you think the trustee would have filed a lawsuit against the corporate officers already? They haven't. It's been over a year because there was nothing shady going on, because we weren't doing anything inappropriate. We were selling a great product, and all those consumers that raised their hand, and I appreciate that they did and wanted to get a system with us, they believed in us because of our credibility and our reviews and our testimonials and all the great years we've done great service. This catastrophic event through Generac is a problem. And I pray to God that the trustee, the AGs, all of those consumers out there march their ass down to Wisconsin and make Generac pay everything. And if I get any money out of this deal, which I don't think I will, because we have creditors to pay and consumers to pay, I want to give back and make sure every customer is whole before I get anything on that. And this personal, this deal cost me $400 million. So I just want to apologize to everybody out there. I don't want you to have this perception of, oh, Jason's out there, you know, living his best life, saying fuck us to the customers. That's not the case. I'm out here rebuilding. I'm out here doing right for my family. I'm out here educating people on how to build a business, on how to overcome adversity and not allow corporate fucking thieves like Generac dictate my life. That's what happened. So I just want to be honest with people out there. You know, I'm not very polished. You know, I'm not the most professional guy. I'm eating while we talk. But I'm an honest guy. I'm honest. And I'm real. I have no reason to lie. I'm honest and I'm real and I have no reason to lie. I loved what we were building. And it breaks my heart that that happened. But I don't know what to do. I can't hide in a hole. It's not who I am. I'm not going to let Generac defeat me. And I pray all you customers stand up for what's right and you fucking go after them. You fucking go after Generac. There's a reason all those class action lawsuits happened, because they are guilty of what happened. And if you were stuck and it wasn't a Generac issue and you were stuck in between something because of the Generac issue that cost us all this money that put us out of business, then you should have filed a claim on the bankruptcy to make sure you were made whole when the trustee wins that lawsuit against Generac. And guys, that's a slam dunk lawsuit. Generac is guilty of sin. They know they're wrong. They put a bad product out there. Their firmware, they know what was going on. They were hiding it. Our lawsuit states that, look up the lawsuit, it's in Virginia for $1 billion, Power Home Solar / Pink Energy versus Generac. It's all in there. It's in the lawsuit. It shows. All the proof is in the pudding. There's recorded Zoom calls of their executive team acknowledging they were wrong. They sent out a letter to the consumers. You can look at stuff I've posted saying we were wrong and Pink Energy's trying to make this right. All of those things happen, but we were the scapegoat and imploded, and it sucks. And it's a nightmare. No. I wanted to get that off my chest because some of the attorneys are out there saying, oh, Jason's got all this money, needs to pay, make it right. I want people to understand I wasn't even on payroll for the last 7-8 months we were open. I didn't take distributions for several years, except tax distributions, which go straight to the government. I left over $30 million in the company in 2021 because we were going public that I never got. That's someone who believes in their business and does things right. They're not greedy. I gave back, between me and my business partners, over $4.5 million to cover the final payroll. Personally, for me and my business partners to pay that. We didn't have to pay that back. We did that because we're not greedy, because it's the right thing to do. So you get these little blood-sucking lawyers out there. I'm talking to you guys. And they're like, oh, we'll sue him. Listen, sue me for what? Generac took me for everything. I'm rebuilding. Sue me for what? They took it all. You're going the wrong place. Bozo, you're going the wrong place. You need to turn your thing towards Generac in Wisconsin. And I'll help you get there free of charge, because it's wrong what they did. 1,000% wrong. And I just hope that it continues to unfold and that they pay the piper and that karma comes back and gets them. And I apologize to all those consumers that get upset and all those employees that get upset and see me out there. But again, I've got to rebuild and do things for my family. And part of my thing is influencing people, showing people you can be successful, showing people that you can grind, showing people you can overcome adversity, teaching people how to build a business, a reality show on how to fix businesses and how to grow businesses and having a chaotic family and all the stuff. Look, these are things that I'm doing to try to provide. I hope that you have the decency to respect that and go, oh, that makes sense. And I'm out here on my own apologizing, saying, look, it's not what you think. I'm not out here like, oh, look, I got away with this bullshit. I get away with anything because I didn't fucking do anything. This is a Generac issue. We ran the company to the best of our ability to make sure things were doing right. We didn't know this product was going to be this big of an issue. And I know some of you are like, well, I didn't have an issue. My product had this. Well, because we had 20,000 customers with issues, which is half our customer base, of not working, that created a wave of problems where we couldn't get to other problems that we were always able to manage year over year, month over month. Now, this is weird to eat and do a podcast. All right, so I got that off the table. Talk about some other things. My son started a new school. He actually likes it. He went to another school and people are talking shit. It's really sad. Kids are so mean, dude. There's kids saying to my son, oh, did your dad file bankruptcy? First of all, I didn't file bankruptcy. The business filed bankruptcy. Damn, I almost could have filed bankruptcy because it took everything I had. But I didn't file bankruptcy. And it's sad that these kids see something on the news or hear their parents talk. And then they go and they bully other kids and say things like, you know, oh, yeah, your dad's this and your dad bankrupted a company and your dad this. And oh, you guys got a reality TV show and blah, 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 blah. And pick on my son or pick on my daughters. Like, it's sad. These kids out there, this is fucking sad. And you know what? I tell my kids, bullies and people who talk shit about other people are insecure. Think about it. Stay with me. If you go out and you projectile bullshit on somebody, right? Oh, they're this and they're only successful because of that. You have an insecurity and complexity about yourself that you're not comfortable with. You are not happy where you are in your life. Therefore, when someone is doing well in their life, you have to find ways to break them down or find excuses of why they're successful and find excuses of why you're not. And that's sad. And people do it on success. They do it on looks. They do it on weight. If you'd learn to love people, first of all, you got to learn to love yourself. And then you learn to love people and appreciate that we're all humans in this world. And appreciate what people have conquered and done and go, wow, that's impressive. And learn to have that mentality. That's not a hater. That's somebody who believes in people and good things will happen. But then you get these people, and I'm talking to you parents out there, especially the ones that are running your mouth to your kids about me, and those kids are running their mouth to my kids about me from your mouth. You're insecure. You see me and you get intimidated. You see me go to the top and then lose everything, and you think because you've never even fucking climbed the mountain and you've sat in your underwear fucking eating SpaghettiOs your whole life, or you've got daddy's money, or it's been fucking hand down to your life and you don't know how to work, that you can come out here and talk about me? That you can come out here and pretend you've walked in my shoes? That you can come out here and say these things and get your kids? You and your kids are fucking losers. That's what it is. You will never accomplish anything. And as long as you're instilling that bullshit and hate in your kids, they won't ever accomplish anything. They'll be the type of kids that will never get there where they want to get to because they're too worried about running their mouth about other people that are trying to do things the right way. And that's what's going to happen. I guarantee it. It's what happens. It's just a cycle. Just rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. And I know this because I have family members that are like that. My own brother fucking hates me. My success is his failure. His failure is my success. Everything in the world. He sent me a horrible text message the other day. Everything in the world that is bad happened to him is my fault or the world's fault. He's never got anything he's deserved. Well, he was a druggie. He was an alcoholic. He was a cheating husband. He was an abusive, shitty father. I mean, eventually, when you're all of these things, bad shit happens, dude. I try to tell him, I'm like, bro, I love you. But this ain't the cloud's fault. This ain't God's fault. This ain't my fault. Motherfucker, this is your fault. This is you not doing what you need to do. This is you blaming everybody else for your fucking shortcomings. The moment people stop blaming everybody else, the moment people stop worrying about everybody else and why they're successful and how did they get there, I bet they did this, and start hating and try to diminish what people have accomplished, and you start focusing on yourself, you will better your life, I swear to God. I swear, like, I don't get into that minutia. I love to see success. I don't give a shit how somebody got from A to Z. I love to see that they got to Z. I'm happy for them. I'm not tearing them down. I admire them, and I want to get to Z. That's how life should be. But it's not. And most people aren't that way. And I go back to my kids getting bullied because of insecure parents, dude. Fucking parents. Parents telling their kids shit about my family and my and me. You don't know me. You haven't lived in my shoes. You haven't done the things I've done. The blood, the sweat, the tears, the hard decisions. How dare you critique me? How dare you judge me? Who do you think you are? I don't get to judge you. I've never walked in your shoes. I've never done the things you've done. So what makes you think that you could talk and live about me? You didn't make me. You didn't create me. You have nothing to do with me. So if you think that you can dictate how I live my life, you're wrong. But how dare you tell your kids shit and your kids tell my kids shit? Like, you ought to be ashamed. And I know some of you are fucking haters and you follow and listen to everything I do. Oh, you can't stand it. When my show comes out, my early show, you're going to be right there watching it and talking shit. And I love it. Get your damn popcorn, and I love it. But you know what? It's sad because you're not bettering yourself and you're not bettering your family. You're tearing other people down because you're insecure, because of your shortcomings, because you can't man up or woman up and do the right thing. You got to blame everybody else. Fucked up. Look what I got here on my spread. Who got on here? All right. So, 5 shots of espresso. Tea. This salad, you know, the chicken's a lot. It's just a lot of chicken. I want more of the nuts and the blueberries. The chicken's a lot, though. Jeez. There's a lot of chicken. You know? Holy moly. Strawberries are good. Anything I want to talk about? It's people betting on themselves. You know? When I see people tearing other people down, commenting on other people, judging other people, when you are allowing people to rent space in your head of what they're doing, and not in a good way, right? Like, I've got some successful friends out there that, I mean, are uber successful. I mean, one guy's worth $15 billion. He's a friend of mine. I love that. I mean, that guy's amazing. I can't say a bad thing about him. I love everything he does, dude. I watch his stuff. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's the best, right? You want to see what people do successful and you want to learn from them. He rents space in my head in a positive way. If I were like, oh, that guy's a fucking fraud, and that guy's this, and I was negative, then he's running space in my head, and I'm infusing negativity in my mind and soul, and I'm manifesting negativity about this guy. It's just going to come back and get me. You need to manifest positive thoughts. You need to manifest being optimistic. You need to manifest, you know, success and what you see yourself doing and learning from these other people. Everybody learns from everybody. Doesn't matter where you are in life. You can learn something from somebody every time. And I always say this, success is not money or your position. It's happiness. And if you're chasing success, AKA happiness, then part of that is not hating what other people are doing. And start betting on yourself. Most people don't bet on themselves. Also don't believe in others. You heard the comment that you got to love yourself before you love others, and that's facts. You have to love yourself before you love others. But you also have to believe in yourself before you can believe in others. And if you don't believe you can ever do it, then you truly don't believe someone else can do it. So you're tearing them down. You're finding reasons for why they're successful and you think it's all bullshit and it's a facade because you're not successful because you don't believe in yourself. But if you start to believe in yourself, then you can start to believe in other people and you could start to see the good in other people and what they're trying to do. And that becomes a powerful force because you learn what they're trying to do and you're trying to do what you do. You kind of blend all that in and guess what? You're unstoppable. That momentum kicks in and you just start to just grow. I mean, that's exciting stuff. I think so. Again, this chicken. Too much chicken. Not feeling it. It's okay. Blueberries are solid. I've never ate lunch on a podcast. I was told this would be dope. I hope you don't mind. I'm like chewing in the mic. Hope it's not bad. Solid salad, though. I'm addicted to the salad. I think it's the strawberry dressing and the pecans. Pecans. You know? I think it tastes great. It's yummy. Yummy and tasty. So I've got some cool announcements coming out soon. Cool people coming on. I've got no, I can't tell you. I want to surprise you. All right, let's try the potato soup. Salad's probably better. This is good. This isn't very healthy, though. Not very healthy. It's all right, though. Now, the potato salad is solid. I like mustard potato salad, personally. And it tastes better than the mayonnaise potato salad. That's solid. I'm a fat ass sitting here just eating my food. Whatever. I had to do another show. So I said, you know what? I'll do a public service announcement. Apologize. Make sure people clear the air. Give an update about bullying, which is wrong. People shouldn't bully others. They even bully adults. Adults bully adults. It's just sad. It's so sad. I wish people wouldn't do that. You know, and it's hard for me to understand because I'm like a physical person who loves confrontation. And I'm one who, if someone puts a lot of things, puts me down and says hateful stuff, I have the ability to compartmentalize my thoughts and to give zero fucks. Like I can just say, you know, I don't give zero fucks what they think. That's hard to do. Like my wife, my kids, they struggle to do that. Like I could literally be like, I don't give two shits what you think about me because you're not my people. If you're not with me, then you're against me, then you're not my people. I don't care what you think. But most people can't do that. And so the world, it makes it hard when you can't do that. Because then you got to deal with the bullying or feeling left out or feeling less than or feeling put down or, and it's just hard. I just wish people would be more kind, have more gratitude, you know, have more appreciation for just humanity. It's just sad. I don't get it. But like I said, with the bullying of confrontational, like I always go back to, you know, I was bullied as a kid. My son didn't believe me. I was like, dude, I was really bullied as a kid. Pretty fucking bad. Like there were a couple times I remember. I told this story the other day to him. I was in seventh grade. And so for everybody out in Desert Sky Middle School, baby, what? Seventh grade, Arizona. Two times I got bullied. One time I got smacked by an eighth grader who was the toughest kid in the school. And for those that know me now, they're like, oh, dude, if you smack Waller, he's down to fight. Like, he's DTF. He's down to fight all the time. And that's true. Like, I'm a confrontational dude. I don't back down from a fight. I mean, I probably should, but I don't. And that's just my bad temper and the zero fucks I give. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know what it is, but that's just how I've become. But in seventh grade, the toughest kid in the school, he's an eighth grader, walked up and smacked the shit out of me. Just reached back and right in the face, just popped me right in the face. And blame me for liking his girl or something. I didn't even know who the fuck his girl was. And I stood there, dude. I had my boy with me. My boy didn't do shit. He stood there and just looked at him fucking dumbfound. I didn't do anything. I just stood there. What was I going to do? I would have got my ass whipped. First of all, I wasn't a great fighter in seventh grade. I learned how to fight better in ninth and 10th and 11th grade. I was an okay fighter, I thought. But this kid was way bigger than me, way tougher than me, and smacked the shit out of me. He's probably supposed to be in ninth or 10th grade. It's in 8th grade. I let it go, you know? And I had to tell my son, like, sometimes you just got to take the licks, dude. Sometimes you got to let shit go. You know, Kenny Rogers talks about you got no one to hold him. You got no one to fold him. You got no one to run. In that situation, I folded him. In another situation later that year, I got in a fight with a kid named Tony Pilato. And he was talking shit about my girlfriend. I don't remember her name at the time. Christine something. And so I walked up to him. And I was like, hey, this is seventh grade, y'all. So, you know, it was 93. And I was like, hey, why are you talking shit about my girl? And he sucker punches me. Boom! Hits me. Boom. My nose explodes. And I'm like, and I'm grabbing him and I'm punching him. And then I'm turning his head around and I'm slamming it in the locker. He's bleeding. There's blood everywhere. I'm bleeding. And they break it up. And we go into the nurse's office. And I've got tissue in my nose. And he's over there. I'm trying to fight him. I'm not done. Like, this kid sucker punched me, right? And they're breaking it up. And then we went into detention center, and he's over at his desk, and I'm trying to get to him again, and they're like, dude, you got to stop. And they called my dad, and the first thing my dad said, they said, your son's been in a fight. So he gets on the phone. He goes, did you start it? I said, no. He said, did you finish it? I said, well, yeah. And he's like, okay, because I would have been grounded. My dad always used to say, don't start a fight, but you better finish it. And if you ain't going to win, you don't come home because you get your ass beat by me. That's what my dad's mentality was. So I was more scared to get my ass kicked from my dad than I was to lose a fight, right? But I never started a fight. Like, I just never looked for a fight. So look, I felt like I won that fight. I went home. I'm suspended. He's suspended. People are like, did he break Jason's nose? I'm like, he didn't break my nose. He just hit me on the button. It exploded and I pounded him and then I smashed his head in the locker. Well, I wanted more. Like, I wasn't done and I felt like he snuck a punch on me. So I was telling him, I'm gonna whip his ass when I go back to school. Well, his older brother, who's in 10th grade, we're in 8th grade, found out. And his older brother brought like 5 kids with him. And the high school was next to the middle school. And I used to walk home with like sometimes one friend and like 3 or 4 chicks. And that one friend, I don't even think was walking that day. And so here I am with 3 or 4 chicks and we're at the ice cream truck. It was an ice cream truck down the street. And we're walking and there's the ice cream truck. And all of a sudden I look over and then all those kids are coming and they've got crutches, chains, bats, golf club, everything. And I'm freaking out. My heart's beating fast and they're talking shit. They're running over to me and I'm right there in front of the ice cream truck. And I'm like, what do I do? I'm going to tell you what I did. And you're not going to believe me, but all those in Arizona know this story. My family knows this story. I jumped in the motherfucking ice cream truck. I jumped in the ice cream truck and told that guy, you need to drive. He's like, why? Why don't I not drive? And I'm like, no, you need to fucking drive. They're coming. And they started hitting the ice cream truck and he fucking gunned it. Do-do-do-do-do. And we drove the ice cream truck down the street and we got over to my house. And we got to my house. I had this buddy of mine named Chris White that was older. He was in 10th grade that hung out with these other gangs and shit. And I was telling him what happened, telling my dad what happened. My dad's like, what the fuck? So my dad gets pissed because they're trying to jump me. My dad drives me and Chris back over to where these kids are. And Chris goes toe-to-toe, gets toe-to-toe with one of their guys. And they're talking shit to each other. And Chris is bringing up, you know, West Side Fina Guetta and blah, 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 Video Hollywood and blah, blah, all this gang shit. Anyways, nothing happens. It ends up getting dropped. Nothing happens. But you know how many times I had to hear, dude, you jumped in an ice cream truck. Yeah. And I told my son, like, you know, I've been in a lot of fights, probably like 20 fights in my life. And I've never lost one-on-one. They're not bragging. And I've been jumped 4 or 5 times. At least I don't feel like I've lost one-on-one. But I tell you this because I've never started a fight. But there, I also don't fight fights that I know I'm going to lose. And I go back to the Kenny Rogers gambler song. You got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. You got to know when to run. Against that 8th grader, who should have been a 10th grader, smacked the shit out of me, I had to fold him. I don't make a move. Against 5 10th graders, I got to run. I jumped in the ice cream truck and took off. But all the other times, I play my cards. I hold them. Let's go. Because there's been several fights I've been in where they're like, you know, they call you shit. They bully you and you stand up to them and all of a sudden they ain't bullying you no more. And you all of a sudden, you know, they come in, they run their mouth and they push you and then you lay them out. And guess what? They shut their mouth for the rest of their life. Like they don't ever speak to you again inappropriately. I had several of those. Guy said something to my girlfriend, which is my wife now. I go in, tap him in the thing in the car and he like swings at me, runs his mouth. He comes out there, beat the shit out of him, smash his head in the ground. Blood everywhere. I mean, it's bad. He never spoke again. Face all cockeyed, everything. Like, you got to know when to hold him. You got to know when to fold him. You got to know when to run. I say this, and I said this to my son. I said, look, you handle bullies one of three ways. One, you learn to give zero fucks, which is really hard. That's where I'm at now. I walk into the gym. I know half those clowns at the gym don't like me. They run their mouth. Look at this guy. He lost this billion-dollar company. He's got a reality TV show. He's this. He's that. I know that. And I know the other half are intimidated, and they're fans, but they don't want to say nothing. Like, I know how this is. But guess what? I don't give a shit. I walk in pink, purple shoes, pink socks, wife beaters, tank tops, hat sideways. I do whatever I want. I act however I want. Nobody dictates how I am every day except me. That's what's cool. Like, I'm totally me. But it took a lot of things in life, hurt, pain, failure, loss, bulliness, people talking shit. I mean, it took me to come out of the ashes to give zero fucks. So I don't expect my kids to have that mentality that nothing you say can bother me. Nothing you do can bother me. That's how I feel right now. Nothing can bother me. That's how I feel. I tell my kids, if you can get to that point, it is a free feeling life. It is like, oh my goodness, nobody can bother who I am and what I do. When you can get to that point, and I'm telling all of you in the show, when you get to that point, it is a freedom that I can't explain that is so gratifying because then you live for you and your family. We have any fucks when anybody says what you think, you look like, you smell like, you act like, you're success, nothing. Don't care about any of it. I'm telling you, there's something real cool about that because you just don't care. You literally give zero fucks. It is a fucking feeling of freedom I can't explain. And I've gotten to that point. Okay. I've gotten to that point. I'm trying to get my kids to that point. It's really hard. So you got to deal with the bully by literally giving zero fucks and never renting space in your brain for them and getting excited that they're renting space in their brain with you because they're envious and they're jealous and they're insecure and they're watching you. Therefore, they're not bettering themselves. So in this race of life, you could just continue to, you know, accelerate and have success. Or you fight back. You fight back. And sometimes you got to fight back. Sometimes you fight back physically. Like when I think of bullying, a guy trying to take my lunch money, I'm like, motherfucker, come take my lunch money, watch what happens. But that's not the bullying today. The bullying today is social media. The bullying today is exile. The bully today is manipulation and making fun of kids. Like it's sad. It's different. Because I used to tell my kids, like, they're bullying you, punch them in the fucking face. Like, it's not what you think. It's what I remember. But that's not the world we live in. So I say, you got to fight back physically or verbally. I use this as an example. My 16-year-old, London, we get made fun of all the time. It's weird because I got bullied when I moved to North Carolina for not having money. I got bullied for living in a trailer park. I got bullied for having a shitty car. I got bullied because my dad, when he took me to school, I'd have to have him park down the street because he had no air conditioning in our car and it was an old ass car and I was embarrassed and people would make fun of me. People would make fun of me because of my clothes. People would make fun of me because of everything. And I remember sitting in like home ed class where like you have babies and cooking and all this shit. And I remember these girls, I feel really bad. I'm gonna throw the name out there. Jenny McLaughlin. See how this goes. And I remember her and some friends talking shit to me my freshman year. Like, where do you live? I'm like, oh, South Brother. Like, oh, the trailer park? Yeah. And they're like, hee hee hee. And they all start laughing and mocking me. And this happened several times. Like, is that even a real Tommy Hilfiger? Like, all of these things are just mocking me and making fun of me. So I was broke, making fun of my dad's car, all these things. That I finally lost it and I snapped. And this girl had a lot of freckles, like a lot of freckles. And so I made a comment to her in class. I said, listen, Jenny, it looks like you stood against a fucking screen and someone threw dog shit at you for an hour. And she just started crying. And it felt so exhilarating to stand up for myself and have her feel pain after she put me down for several weeks, her and her friends, and they were popular and I was the new kid. It felt great. I look back, it's not great. I hate that I did it, but I did it. And then all of a sudden, the whole fucking football team wanted to beat the shit out of me. So here I am fighting with the whole damn football team. Like, this was how school went for me. They made fun of me because I was broke. They made fun of me because I was poor. They made fun of me because of where I lived. They made fun of me because of my clothes. They made fun of me because of my dad's car. They made fun of me. Fast forward, I go on. I build several companies. I'm successful. I have money. My kids have nice shit. I drive them in nice cars. They go to nice schools. Guess what they get bullied for? For having too much money. But, you know, the shoes they wear, the backpacks they have, the cars we drive. Oh, your dad has a Ferrari. Oh, your dad has a Lambo. Oh, your dad has a Porsche. My kids would get bullied time and time and time again for the opposite reason I got bullied. And I would pray about it. I go, God, like, I don't understand. What am I doing wrong? You know, I didn't have anything and they bullied me. My kids have so much and they bullied them. And I just come to the conclusion that when you're relevant, you're going to get bullied. Let me say that again. When you're relevant, you're going to get bullied. When you're irrelevant, nobody gives a fuck about you. You're just another sheep in a herd. Just another cattle in a herd. But when you're a lion or a buffalo and you're fucking relevant, guess what? People gonna find a way to knock on you. Whether you got too little, you got too much, they're scared of you. They're intimidated of you. They're fearful of you. They're jealous of you. You bother them. And you know what? That's a great thing. That means you're relevant. Now, not everybody wants to be relevant. Some people want to be irrelevant and they want to be in the herd, and that's okay. But this motherfucker right here, I want to be relevant. I want to be relevant. So I'll take the bullying when I was broke, and I'll take the bullying if I got money, because you know why? I've learned to give zero fucks. And I got to get my kids to think like that. When you're relevant, when you're important, you're on people's minds. And some people that are good people, you're on their minds in a good way, and those are the people you love. But most people aren't good people. They have to tear people down because they're so insecure and they're so upset about their shortcomings that they have to tear other people down and blame them and say there's reasons that they're successful and make up excuses and paint them with a red brush. And I said, that's because you're relevant. You're intimidating. You're polarizing. You're important. So for all of you out there, when you feel like you're bullied, when you feel like people are putting you in a corner, when you feel like people are making you feel less, and let me tell you something, you're not. You're fucking relevant. You're on their mind. They can't stand it. You're special. You have something they don't, and they're attacking you for it. And you have to remember that. You have to look in the mirror and tell yourself, I'm special. I have something great about me that they're coming after me for. Otherwise, why would they come after me? They're insecure. They're weak. They're scared. Don't allow that to control you. You control you, and know that you are worthy and you are beautiful, and you can control and dictate your life and conquer the hour and win the day because you're relevant and you're important. And those people that try to tear you down, they are not. They want your life. They're intimidated by who you are. You scare them. Think about that. You scare them. That's a power you have. If somebody's picking on you, if someone's bullying you, you have something that they admire and that they're jealous of and that they're insecure about. And guys, you can weaponize that and you can use it against them. And I mentioned earlier how you can give zero fucks if one way, or you can fight back physically. Fuck you. Do you want to talk shit? Let's go. Or verbally. So my 16-year-old, who was always bullied about the cars we had, and she would be like, Dad, don't drive that car. Dad, don't do this. Dad, don't do this. And she always wanted to hide under the radar and not be bothered. Now she's a senior. She's 16. And let me tell you something. People fuck with her because she drives a pink Bronco, a Barbie Bronco. And when she got this Bronco, they'd run their mouth. Oh, must be nice. Daddy's money. Blah, 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 blah. And she would be like, I'm dead. I'm so bothered. She finally had enough. She realizes, you know what? They're jealous that I have this. They're jealous of who I am. They're jealous of who our family is. They're jealous of what we're going to do in life because they're wasting their time talking shit about us, which means they're jealous and insecure. And I tell people, if you're wasting your time talking shit about somebody, you are jealous and insecure of those people. That's what you are. So you bet not. Don't let me catch you talking shit about people and be like, man, you hanging on somebody's dick. What's wrong with you? So when they're doing that to London, and they're running their, like they're doing that, London finally got it. She goes, yeah, maybe your parents should work more and they can buy a nicer car. What do they say to that? That's kind of mean, Jason. You're damn right it's mean. But is it mean for them to bully her that she has nice shit? Is it mean for them to judge her because she has a nice car and tell her I'm with daddy's money, it must be nice, run their mouth? Fucking give it back. So she tells them, maybe your parents should get a better job and buy a car like mine. Woo woo. Now what do they do? Oh, that did it. You come at me, I come at you. You burn my grass down, I blow your fucking block up. That's the mentality of the Wallers. That's the mentality that we got. You'll see it on the Bam Fam show coming out in January. That's the mentality that we have. Or all for one, one for all. Like, look, we're either in it together or you're against us. And it's dog eat dog. And that's how London takes it. She's like, you know what? You come at me, I'm coming at you. That's how Kinsey takes it. That's how Hannah takes it. I'm going to get Christian to take it that way. So option two on bullying is that. And option three is you just take it. You cry and you just take it. You don't do anything about it. Maybe you turn into the principal. Maybe you turn into your manager and you just do that way. And there's nothing wrong with that either if that's the route you want to go. But I'm a big believer of learning to give zero fucks is my favorite, or fighting back. When there's bullies, you got to learn to fight back. You got to learn to stand up for yourself. Because there's bullies everywhere. Work. School. Families. I mean, it's bad. It's sad. You know, you're not going to hear me go out there and just hate on people. I mean, I'll hate on Generac and that executive team for lying. But you're never going to hear me hate on people. I love to see people succeed. Because I'm not insecure. I feel like I'm the most secure person out on the planet. And I don't look the best. And I'm not in the best shape. And I don't have the most money. And I'm not the tallest. But I'm fucking confident. And I'm secure. And when you have that, I'm telling you, it is a great feeling of freedom. So make sure that you stay focused. You stay positive. You go out and crush it. You have a great holiday. Bam!